My friends, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. So how well did you, or do you, know your father? Today is Father's Day. And when we think of our earthly father, you may have seen him in many different roles. Maybe you saw him as a gardener, as a businessman, a fisherman, a drunk, a kind advisor, a holy terror, a disciplinarian, a sage. But at some point, we realize there are ways we did not know him. We may not have known our father as best friend, or bridge partner, or co-worker, or boss, or husband. I remember one time a friend of my dad's, I was about 17, I think, and he pulled me aside, this friend of my dad's, and he said, "Do you know that your dad is a very intelligent man?" He said, "A lot of children don't really know their parents that way. But I want you to know that I've worked with your dad for 30 years, and he's a very smart man." And I thought that was kind of interesting that he would tell me that or say that to me. And he was right. I knew that my dad was good at math because he helped me with my math. And I knew he was a kind man, but I never really thought of him in an outstanding way like that. So it was interesting that this guy had taken it upon himself to share that with me. We really can't know our fathers completely, just as we can't know any other person totally. All of our knowledge comes from personal and limited experience and a limited viewpoint. So today is also Trinity Sunday, and in the same way, we cannot know everything about God. We only know what has been revealed to us. Much of what God is still a mystery. Each Sunday, we affirm our faith in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit through the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creeds. These creeds were written in the 4th century in order to confess what we do know about God through the Holy Scripture and through the Church's consistent experience of God. And while the word Trinity is never used in the Bible, we see the use of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not too often we see them together, but we do see it today in our gospel lesson. This is part of Jesus' farewell address, and we heard many of these parts of this discourse during the Easter season, where Jesus, of course, speaks of his Father often and invites us to call him our Father. He is explaining to the disciples that he must return to his Father, and he also assures them that the Spirit of truth will come and will tell them what is on the Father and the Son's heart. The Father and the Son are in unity together, and he makes it clear that they are one, and it is their Spirit then that comes to the disciples. You know, sometimes the language about the Trinity can be very confusing. Maybe some of you remember a confirmation class where you heard words like substance and persons and co-equal and co-eternal. You may have seen the Trinity expressed as three triangles kind of hooked together. I think on the front of our bulletins today we have three fish with one head trying to explain somehow the Trinity. Martin Luther said, "To try to deny the Trinity endangers your salvation. To try to comprehend the Trinity endangers your sanity." If we have trouble understanding our earthly fathers, it's no wonder we have trouble understanding the doctrine of the Trinity. As for Trinitarian mathematics, the good news is that the numbers don't get very big. They only go up to 3. The bad news is that the mathematics are kind of like something out of Alice in Wonderland. 3 is 1, and 1 is 3. Instead, I want to suggest to you today that the Trinity is less about numbers and philosophy and more about relationship. That the three persons of the Trinity relate to one another within God, and there is a dynamic flow among them. Perhaps you could think of a conversation, and you might have 3 people or more, and there's a conversation that flows back and forth. Or even a dance in which people go back and forth in the unity of love. To be a part of the love and the joy and the movement toward life, that is who our God is. And in so doing, we may discover more about who God is and what God is up to. Sometimes I think the Trinity might be best expressed in poetry rather than in deep explanations of some kind. Well, you may be thinking, what's the difference whether I know anything about the Trinity or not? And I think that who we view God to be does indeed make a difference in our everyday lives. For instance, if one only relates to God as Father, one can rely on an image of God that is authoritarian, judgmental, legalistic, and paternal. God is the old man with the beard, isolated, up in the sky. He's kind of like a cosmic policeman watching over and looking down on what I do. I will be punished or rewarded based on my behavior. We may then be very well-behaved people, but also very judgmental and very fearful people. You can see the limits of only knowing God as Father. Or those who focus only on Jesus as my Jesus, my friend, my confidant, my buddy, my teddy bear. Then God has no backbone and accepts everything you do and condones it. This is a sugary, sweet, and sentimental God. It's what Dietrich Bonhoeffer described as cheap grace, when we simply sin and ask to be forgiven over and over again without ever looking at ourselves and changing our ways to that which God desires. God becomes a rubber stamp for what we do, and we make God into our image instead of the other way around. Finally, there can be too much emphasis on the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, who comes with enthusiasm and zeal, is a great thing. But sometimes people are considered second-class citizens if they don't feel that zeal. If they don't speak in tongues, for example. While energy and spirit-filled life are good, it can go overboard and become cultish. A second way of emphasizing only the Spirit is to believe one can commune with God individually, and that God speaks only to you, negating the importance of the community and the church that help to keep us balanced. We often hear this expressed as, "I am spiritual, but not religious." When I describe the Trinity in new member classes, I do it as simply as possible. I begin with the cross. Everything begins at the cross. And we see the Trinity there, In the cross, we see the Father giving the Son to the world. The Son gives up his life with God and comes and gives himself, his very self, for the sake of the world. And it is a spirit of their self-giving love that comes to us today and that enters our hearts. And when we come to realize that and we embrace that, when we see how much God cares and loves us, we step into that self-giving love and begin to give ourselves away for the sake of others. This is what we mean when we say God is love, when we commit ourselves to that love and we participate in it. It brings life and hope and salvation. Those who live in love live in God, and God in them, says the writer of 1 John. Love, by definition, cannot exist alone. It has to have an object. Our God longs to be in a personal relationship with us, and the relationship of love is what defines the Trinity. It is so wide and so open that the whole church and the whole world can live within this love. It's a hospitable love. It's like a dance of love that we are invited to be a part of. The dance of holy love constantly interacts with us and through us in the desire to give life to all people. This is Trinity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.